The Hockey Gambling Podcast on the Sports Gambling Podcast Network is brought to you by Underdog Fantasy. Play their fantasy pick'em for a chance to win 100 times in NBA, MLB, MMA, NHL, golf, and more. Sign up today using promo code HGP to get a 100% deposit match. Plus, the NFL Draft is coming up, and old-fashioned football is giving away some autographed NFL merch. Head to sportsgamblingpodcast.com/OFFcontest to enter today.
Welcome to the Hockey Gambling Podcast on the Sports Gambling Podcast Network. My name is Talon Jenkins. Joined with our hosts, we got Ryan Gilbert and Joel Meyer. Gentlemen, how the hell are we doing tonight?
I'm doing all right. I'm feeling, I have more energy than I thought I would here for our second show of the night. We're recording this on Wednesday night, going to be released on the podcast feeds on Thursday. But for you guys on YouTube and Twitter here, you guys get a sneak peek of this early. No, I was doing good last show until you guys kept pumping up the Capitals. And I was just thinking about how that could have been the Flyers if they didn't go on an 8-game losing streak. But here we are.
To be fair, if you had Cutter Gauthier in your lineup, he could have been you.
I fucking bet. Cutter Gauthier, anytime goal scorer Thursday night.
Here we are, indeed. Couldn't get the Austin Matthews goal, unfortunately. But if you remember about a month ago, I said to bet the Penguins under 8.5 points. It was looking grim for a while as the Penguins made their playoffs charge with everyone looking rejuvenated. But thankfully, Sidney Crosby missed a penalty shot to tie the game. 30 seconds left. Islanders hold out. Sorokin came up big when it mattered. Still ended 4 goals, but the Islanders scored 5. That's all that matters. So big win from half hour ago. Like these end of the season games are going my way. Finally, like everything's turning around. It must not be Lent.
Yeah, I am still not in a good place right now. You know, I played a lot of guitar growing up, right? And I was a little emo bitch and used to write songs, and I had a lyric, and it was this back in high school. It was no drugs or tunes or sluts or booze can keep me from cutting myself. And that's how I feel right now. So it's being rejuvenated. What was that? Fucking, I don't know, 12 years ago, 11 years. It's being rejuvenated to where I am right now. So it's still not in a good place. We know Matthews isn't going to hit 70. That's okay. I don't care about that. That's fine. You know, it would have been nice to see it happen. Obviously, you know, it sucks it didn't happen. A 69 goal season is still absolutely fantastic and incredible. So that's going to get lost in the hype, and understandably so. But yeah. Hopefully I can get through this next couple days and everything will be okay, at least till Saturday, and then everything goes tits up. Don't talk to me on the weekend. I'm not going to be talking to anybody. So, all right.
We'll be talking about you, though.
Yeah, I bet you will be. I don't know what we're going to be doing. I want to be doing. Everybody go check out the Sports Gambling Podcast Network website. That's the place to be. Tons of stuff going on in the world of sports. What else do we got? We got, you know, hockey playoffs, which are going to be absolutely electric. They're going to be here on Saturday. They're going to be sweet. What else? NBA. Have you guys, Joel, you've been tracking the play-ins. What's your overall thoughts on what's going on there?
I haven't really been tracking. I watched a part of the games last night. Ryan just informed me that the 76ers won the play-in after being down by double digits, so that was good. Also, Doug Reed. Apparently, the Beatles from Liverpool. I said Manchester because that's where all the good bands come from, like the Smiths, right, Talon?
Smiths Oasis. Are fun.
They're probably from Manchester.
You're right. I like The Cure. Oasis is good. Like, I don't know. You're fine.
Yeah, so apparently the Beatles are from Liverpool. Fucked up there, but the play-ins, I don't give a shit. God forbid the NHL get play-ins. Like, what? We already had the play-ins last night with the Red Wings playing with the Capitals and Flyers going at it. That was the play-in. We don't need to create these other bullshit dramas to get these shit teams in the league.
I like it. I don't think it would work as well for hockey. Like, I read something like yesterday about how there were so many teams making sure they weren't in that 7 spot so they don't have to play in the play-in. And there were teams that were still trying towards the second half of the season instead of resting players. But the NHL doesn't deal with that. So it's good for some sports. It's good for the NBA, the load management league there. But, yeah, I don't think it would work for the hockey.
There's so many things that they'd have to like take into consideration that like, do you pay the players for these play-in games? Obviously NHL players don't get paid for playoffs. You know, what is that? Does that affect contract situations? You know, like bonuses, all this nature, all this other shit. Like there's just so much to figure out, which yes, you can do, but with the NHL's inability to be able to sit down with their players association and fucking figure out anything, like how could, like, I just don't see this ever actually happening. It'd be crazy, but anyways, other stuff, tons of stuff, world sports, figure it all out. Baseball's a thing too. Hell yeah, we love baseball on this show. Everything else is going on too, so that's great. Check out the SGPN website, listen to the other shows, read the other articles. Everyone does such a killer job, man. A lot going on this time of year, especially the NFL draft coming up as well. The place is going to be bumping with that. And of course, shout out to what do you got,
Gilbert? Old fashioned football. They got the giveaway going on. The signed merch giveaways. If you go to sportsgamblingpodcast.com/OFF contest.
Hell yeah, man. So yeah, that's all good shit. And of course, shout out to all of our friends and pals in the Discord. Discord's always popping off. It's a good time. Everybody's having a blast in there. Lots of new faces in there, gearing up for playoff time, which is what we like to see, man. So that's good. If you want to get in the Discord, reach out to myself or Ryan on Twitter. We'll be sure to point you in the right direction. Or you can reach out to the HGP Twitter account, social media assistant producer. We'll tell you everything you need to know. He's a good guy. He's a beauty. He'll get you going. Or what you can do is just go to the ghetto-ass outdoor basketball courts of East Van, baby, with the chain link mesh nets and shit. And when you're out there, you'll just see my boy Joely just dropping step back threes all day long. And you'll be like, hey, isn't that Joel Meyer from the Hockey Gambling Podcast? And you know, maybe we should ask him how to get in the Discord, and he'll just be fucking Michael Jordan out there just swishing and bishing. I don't know.
Swishing and bishing and toking and poking. Yeah. That's all the stuff that goes down there in East Van. Yeah, definitely the elite white guard right here. They call me Jason Kidd or Steve Nash, straight from Van City.
Yeah, let's exactly.
Steve
yeah,
Nash, all the Steve Nash of East Van, East Hastings. Let's go,
bro. I played high school basketball. Like, now keep in mind, my high school had 250 kids, and we didn't have any black people. We had an Indian guy, and so he was on the team, but that was about as close as it got for us. And I think we won two games all year, baby. But I was on that team and I made a free throw once. So,
hell yeah. Right on.
Yeah, it was good shit. Back in the glory days.
Yeah, make sure you subscribe to the podcast, Apple, Spotify, YouTube as well. So make sure you could have got this one earlier if you're a podcast listener on YouTube. So make sure you subscribe there.
That's awesome. We don't really have any LDTs or anything to go over.
You want to discuss the Coyote situation for a few minutes here before we get to the ad slot?
I can quickly dive into that. It is pretty much made official as of now, right? Like as of today, mm-hmm. that the Arizona University or State University Coyotes will be moving to Utah for next season. Let's touch on this quickly, just like an overall synopsis of what's happening here. Okay. So obviously the Arizona Coyotes have been in absolute shambles pretty much since the fucking inception of the goddamn Arizona Coyotes, right? Alex Morrell is the current owner of the team. What's happening here is we've heard, obviously, Ryan Smith, the owner of the Utah Jazz, is going to be acquiring the Arizona Coyotes. It's not like it's a direct sale. So it's not like, you know, the Ryan Smith camp is buying the team directly from the Alex Morrell camp. What's happening here is the NHL is actually buying the Arizona State University Coyotes from Alex Morrell. They're paying, they're paying $1 billion, I believe, is the final number for the sale. After that, they will be selling the team to Ryan Smith for $1.3 billion. So that essentially that $300 million is what's going to be used as a relocation fee, essentially what we're seeing. Now, the last time we saw this happen was with the Atlanta Thrashers moving to Winnipeg. The relocation fee at the time in 2011 was about $60 million. So we've seen that increase by over five times. That's the state of where these franchises are currently worth as of now. Just for a relocation fee, we're looking at $300 million. Now, what's interesting about this is Alex Morrell is still retaining the rights and the territorial rights to the Arizona Coyotes. Now, what is happening is they're giving Morrell, the NHL is giving Morrell 5 years to get his shit together and figure out where you're going to be playing, secure land, build a building. If you are capable of doing that by then, we are going to award you a team. So Morrell still has these rights to the team. He's not able to sell these rights. It's not like he can find like another investor and say, okay, I will sell you this. The NHL paid him, you know, $1 billion. Now he acquired the team in 2019 for like $300 million. So he made decent profit back on that. With that being said, the team was in debt when he bought them, so it's not like, you know, fucking he made all that profit, but it's still a decent amount of money that he took home, and he'll have to pay $1 billion to get a franchise team back, potentially even more, because if you look at current predictions for franchises expansion, you're looking at like $1.5 billion, which is absolutely fucking insane. Now the shitty thing is that $300 million that the league is going to be getting, that's not calculated into hockey-related revenue, which means it's not HRR, which means it does not go to the players in any ways. It does not help increase the salary cap, and the owners see every cent of that. The players don't see a fucking dime, which is an absolute joke, especially considering how much money this team's or the league's going to be generating with expansion rights in the next couple of years when they inevitably go to 34 teams. But that's not the conversation for here nor there. Utah will be playing where the Utah Jazz play. I was looking, what's the arena called? It's called I had it somewhere. It's all gone now. But anyways, it holds 200,000 for basketball. Their hockey expectations are sitting at about 20,000. Yeah, did I say 20,000? Yeah, that's massive. No, 20,000 State Arena for hockey. They're expected to sit 13,000, which isn't necessarily great. With that being said, Utah and Ryan Smith has made a full commitment to building a new arena within the next, I believe, 3 years or so, looking for like a 20,000 seater in Utah. Again, this all comes back to HRR, hockey related revenue, right? And this whole thing wouldn't have happened if NHLPA executive director Marty Walsh didn't go out at the All-Star break this year and just heavily criticize the league. The difference in HRR hockey related revenue created between Arizona and Toronto last year, for example, was a difference of $150 million, which is unacceptable. And by this year, it's already expected that the difference between the two is at $200 million. And that is the money that is directly what is going to make the number for the salary cap. It's a 50-50 split between owners and players. So the fact that a team like Arizona is bringing down the league this substantially, it's not hurting the owners, Eddie. The owners' franchise prices are through the fucking roof. The amount of equity they have in these franchises, it doesn't matter. What it's hurting is the players, which is why Bettman didn't give a fuck for so long. But why now, since Marty Walsh just came out and said something about it, we're actually seeing this kind of change happen, right? So it's a good thing on the whole. It sucks. If you live in Arizona, it's heartbreaking, man. You guys deserve it. Arizona Coyote fans, they've probably taken more shit than any fucking fan in any sports league over the past maybe like 15 years, man. And I know we joke on them and laugh about them that there aren't a lot, but truth be told, there is a lot of Coyotes fans, and you guys deserve better than this. And, you know, Arizona population-wise is the fifth largest city in the United States. The NHL wants to make it work there, and it can work there. I adamantly believe that. So one day we will see that happen. It's just a shame that you guys can't get your ownership, has never been able to get their shit together for you. So on the whole, NHL moving to Utah is fucking dumb. Like, there's, 200 million people in the entire fucking city of Salt Lake City. Like, that's not acceptable. You know, why aren't we going to, like, Houston or some other shit like this? I know Joel doesn't want either of those things to happen. But still, I don't know. It's interesting. It's a shame. Coyotes, it's not goodbye. It's I'll see you later, I guess. And to Utah, whatever you guys end up becoming, you know, you're fucked. A big thing here is player contracts. A big thing is every player is being awarded like $25,000 or some shit. It's like a relocation kind of. It's like, here you go. I hope this makes you feel better. Go figure out your home shit. That's not enough. That's not okay.
Moving from Scottsdale to
Salt Lake City. Later.
Here's 25K.
I know. It's okay if you're like a young guy like Logan Cooley or something, but like if you're Clayton Keller and you've been there your whole career, you just extended a big deal and shit. Like, you tell me now I got to move to fucking Salt Lake City. Like, another big thing is no trade clause. Like, this deal is going to be done and official like now. Essentially, like, it's probably all going to be signed and finalized by Friday before playoffs. I wanted to get this done so it's not a distraction. Teams can make trades at the draft, and Arizona is on your no trade list, but Utah is not. And so this is a big thing that the PA is currently actually working with the NHL now, saying, what do we do for these teams, right? Like, all these players that have modified no trade lists and something, like, does it carry over? How does this work? In typical NHL fashion, they just said, fuck it, let's do this, and let's not iron out any of these details. So the whole thing's a little bit of a mess now. That's just a brief synopsis of what I've looked into. I don't know. I'll post other shit in the Discord or if anybody even cares. But I think it's interesting. But hell yeah.
It is, especially the no-trade thing. I know they ask the players, like, I think annually, like, for an updated no-trade list. So maybe they'll...
July 1st, though. Well, so, but the draft is before maybe then, right?
Maybe they'll move it up. Maybe they'll
move
it up.
They have to do it, like, now. Like,
yeah. One interesting thing, could be some altitude there in Salt Lake City. It's a 4,200 feet above sea level. Of course, Denver is 5,200, a mile above, but you know, that could be something to look out for with the Utah home ice advantage next season. And yeah, Arizona doesn't have too many players locked up long-term. Obviously, Clayton Keller's there, Lawson Krause for a bit, Nick Schmaltz.
No defensemen. A lot of RFAs, but no defensemen.
All their defensemen are RFAs. They have a lot of picks in the next few drafts, in the second round and third round especially. So, you know, there are definitely going to be players asking out. So don't be surprised if you see, you know, maybe Clayton Keller doesn't want to move to Utah. So maybe someone scoops him up.
Sean Durzi to the Leafs. Let's get it. Bring him back, baby. Bring the kid home.
So I actually have a few things to say here. Partly back on the back of what Talon's saying. Yeah, Utah has a higher tax rate than Arizona. So those players can be paying that out of pocket. So the $25K probably doesn't even cover that. I mean, I don't know if they have to figure out the salaries, like the tax rate in Arizona compared to Utah, but either way, they got to pay living expenses and all that shit. So that's a big difference. And yeah, the Utah to Denver in the NBA has long been a thing in the, because people like sit players when they're going to Utah and they have to play the Nuggets next day. So that could be like this advantage for betting or for, you know, if we wanted on the load management route, like a lot of teams like sit players in one of those nights. So that's something to look forward to. But yeah, the main thing is that Ryan Smith is the owner's name, right? In Utah. So he's got this big program, which has invested a lot of money, and they've created like this massive like youth basketball program in Utah, which is a big reason why the NHL wanted to get him involved as opposed to Houston. Naturally, Houston should be the priority given the population difference there. Yeah, the Mormons will fuck their way to so yeah, there's some fertile ground there in Utah for some hockey players, just like there was in Arizona, like with Matthews and Nyes, for instance, coming up. So Utah should be a breeding ground for hockey in the future if they stick around there. And Ryan Smith apparently is heavily invested in the community and all that, so I love all that shit. It's just bring hockey back home. Bring hockey where the fucking ice grows naturally. Fucking Quebec City. That's where hockey should be played.
Guy lives in Vancouver. He hasn't seen ice in his life.
Still fucking more ice than Scottsdale or Houston. Give me a fucking break.
Yeah. No, hopefully.
At least we have snow here at least a few days a year before it turns to slush. But no. Like, I like the guy. I like what he's doing. But bring hockey back home, man. Like, let's get some real. If the hockey belongs where there's snow.
Okay. Dude, Doug Reed's the best. UFO aliens will be watching. They're going to just put the rink in Skinwalker Ranch and let's get after it. Hey, Dougie, let's go. I love that. That's incredible.
Yeah, Quebec a team. Get someone up there.
Quebec will never get an NHL team. I'm telling you right now. It's not happening. There's not enough corporate sponsorship money there to make it work. It's just never going to happen. I'm sorry.
Yeah, hopefully all the Mormons in Utah can soak in all the hockey while it's there.
Good one.
Right. Fucking skydiver, of course, showing up. Ooh, hockey is for everyone. What a
you like that,
now.
Eh, bud?
Yeah. All right, he's missing an H in his last name. Nick Wine is his last name. So
there you go. Easy there, Ringo. Just fucking read the ads. Okay.
I will. Yeah, Underdog Fantasy playoffs are here. NBA and NHL. It's the easiest place to play fantasy sports. Playing their pick 'em games is as simple as selecting higher or lower on player stats, and you can make entries of any sport. You can win up to 100 times your money, and it's a ton of fun. Underdog is available in 30-plus states, including California, Texas, and even Canada. They got some specials going on for the NBA playoffs. Anthony Edwards has a special on Friday and Saturday, Jason Tatum on Sunday. So make sure you check them out. And yeah, I mean, plenty of promos. Make sure you check them out on Twitter at Underdog Picks. And make sure you sign up with the promo code HGP at UnderdogFantasy.com or the Underdog app to double your first deposit up to $100. That's Underdog Fantasy, promo code HGP.
All right. Obviously, it's time for playoffs. We finished our Metro Division playoff preview. We're going to keep things rolling here with the East. So this show will be our Atlantic Division playoff preview show. Obviously, you know, four teams in the playoffs here for the Atlantic. We had the Boston Bruins against the Toronto Maple Leafs. We also had the Florida Panthers against the Tampa Bay Lightning in the Battle of Florida here. Boys, Atlantic Division, are we ready to rock and roll here or what?
Oh, yeah.
All right. Let me pull some shit up here. First game, or first series, rather, that we're going to talk about. We are going to dive into the Boston Bruins against the Toronto Maple Leafs. First game is on Saturday, April 20th, with an 8 p.m. puck drop here. I believe the Bruins swept the season 4-0, winning all four games here. The last two that they played were in fine fashion. They beat the Leafs 4-1 in both of these games. Current odds, the Bruins to win the series at -125, the Leafs to win at +105. Saw some people saying these odds were going to be bigger. Saw some people online saying these odds were going to be less. I think that they're about pretty much right. Maybe if anything, the Bruins should have been a little bit bigger favorites, but that's neither here nor there. Boys, what are your thoughts on this series here on the whole?
Yeah, we looked for a while we'd be getting this, then it looked like they wouldn't be getting it when Bruins pulled into first place. But yeah, they dropped out, getting a classic battle here between the Bees and the Leafs. I do like the Leafs here. I think +105. I mean, I feel like it's even money on either side. It should be a good series. I like the Leafs. Obviously, have more talent, have more depth, but the Bruins keep surprising me this season. I did not think they'd be able to do as well as they did with Charlie Coyle and Pavel Zacha as their top centers, but they've been great there. Pastrnak's been great. Swayman and Allmark and Net, they have two options they can go to if they have to. So they're always going to be a tough out here. I'm probably not going to bet the series myself, but possibly over 5.5 games at -175 or to go to game 7 at +200. Seeing a long series here, both teams should easily be able to win two games, maybe a back and forth series, something like that. But yeah, the pressure's on Toronto now, as we hear in Talon's voice for this show and his last show and every show until the rest of the playoffs. Yeah, should be a good series. Don't got too much to bet on it, but yeah, Toronto or Boston swept the season series. One win was a shootout, one was an overtime, and then the only game since December was a Boston 4-1 win on March 7th. So maybe read into that a little bit more than the first two, but yeah, it should be a good series. Should be a long series.
Yeah. I was one of those people who said that I thought that the price would be higher. I said -150 and -125. Yeah. I'm already heavy on Boston to do some good things here in these playoffs, but I might have to add some more Boston -125. I think that's a good price here to play some Bruins. Yeah, if you dominated the season series, that's historically something that's contributed to playoff success. It's very predictive. A team beats one team in the regular season, they typically beat the same team in the postseason. So that's where I'm going here. Like, from a matchup standpoint, like if you look at the two blue lines, there's not much of a bigger difference than what you're getting here with the Bruins versus the Leafs. I don't like the Leafs blue line. I've been saying that all season long. And we got McAvoy, Lindholm. He's having a down year, but he's still an excellent defenseman. And then the other guys are very, very capable depth guys. So yeah, I love Boston here. Pastrnak is a playoff performer, no doubt. He elevates this game. Matthews has typically played much better in the regular season than in the playoffs. That's true, Talon. That's true. You know, give me that look.
I don't know about that one, but
so yeah, and the goaltending is a massive advantage for the Bruins as well, with Allmark and Swayman, and the question marks with the Leafs. Still don't know who's gonna play there. I guess it'll be Samsonov, the way that they're leaning on him lately. But yeah, I love the Bruins here. Although I do have to say, the past couple of months that the Leafs have been showing me that they are more capable of playing on playoff hockey. So if the playoffs, or if the Leafs do win this series, I think it'll be on the back that they are capable of standing up to the Bruins, maybe beating up a little bit, maybe make the Bruins the team that fear the Leafs a little bit, like a reversal of roles. That's the path for success for the Leafs, but I think the Bruins are the better team here. I think they come together. They still have the culture. Sure, no Bergeron, no Krejci, but the culture still lives on. Marchand has got this team connected. He's the continuity. He's carried on the connection from the Chara Bergeron years, and he's kept it going. And the other guys have followed suit. So yeah, I like the Bruins here quite a bit. I could see it going six games. I'm not gonna bet the series price or the total games, but I like the Bruins to win it, no doubt. At -125, I think that's a dream with the Bruins getting four games at home in a seven and potentially seven games.
Guys, when you were a kid growing up, maybe let's say 7 years old, what did you want to be when you grew up?
A board game designer. Question?
A board game designer for Joel. That's cool. Ryan, what did you want to be?
Seven. The first thing I remember wanted to be and is like an architect. I wanted to like design roller coasters or stuff like that.
Guy just played Roller Coaster Tycoon all day.
I fucking love that.
Well, yeah, exactly. That sick ass game. I wanted to be the goalie for the Toronto Maple Leafs. That's what I wanted to be my entire life. When I was 7 years old, my first memories I ever really have are being on the ice, looking down, wearing a Leafs jersey. I remember I got pictures of my parents taking me out skating when I was 1 year old. I'm rocking a Leafs jersey and I'm out there just on the ice. All I ever wanted to be my entire life, even up to high school. Even when I was in high school, my dad was taking me to late night shinny at Canlan Ice Sports in Oshawa. It was shinny that started at 11 o'clock. You'd have all junior, AAA players, whoever you want, just showing up here. It was Monday through Friday. We'd go three nights a week. I'd get home at 1 a.m., 1:30, or get off the ice at 1:30 a.m., get home at 2, get up at fucking 7:30 and go to school. All I ever wanted to do was to play for the Toronto Maple Leafs. And this is how much this team has always meant to me. It's my life. It's been I was born into it. It's literally, there hasn't been a day in my life where the Toronto Maple Leafs haven't come across my mind in the 30 years I've been alive on God's great earth here. Okay. So I'm biased. I'm extremely biased. I understand that, but everything I say comes from that. Everything I've always ever said about the Leafs comes from that upbringing, that passion, that love. There is nothing in my life that is, I should be careful how loudly I say this. My girlfriend's in the other room. Has ever meant to be as much as this goddamn hockey team has meant to me. So I'm extremely biased when it comes to this, man. But I can't go against my team. I got to be on the Leafs. I will bet anybody any amount of money they want. It'll drive me broke. I don't care. Because I just will never have it in myself to turn my back on this team. Because it's been there on my back and on my chest my entire fucking life. So give me the Leafs +105 in this game. And that's my passion play. Now let's start talking realistic. Let's start talking realistic.
I can't wait to do my Avalanche
No, I do like the Leafs to play this game. I'm sorry. If you look at these teams on paper, the comparison is there. Like if you look at the matchups, there is more depth in Toronto. I'm sorry. At least from an offensive point of view, Julie touched on defense, and this is where him and I agree on defensive philosophy in the playoffs. From what it makes it seem, Joel's always been an advocate of like, yeah, you need your puck moving defensemen in the playoffs and all this. And obviously that's something that Toronto maybe doesn't have at a busk of, like maybe Morgan Riley to an extent, Timothy Liljegren. I don't even know if I'd go that far. I disagree. I think the opposite. I think it's short and simple. And this is what this Leafs D-core has this year that they haven't really had much of in years past. To me, the most important thing with a defensive core in playoffs is boxing out in front of the net. And that's been such a fucking problem with this Leafs team in playoffs for the past couple of years. They haven't been able to win the battle in the corners and in front of the goddamn net. And if you're sitting here and telling me the likes of Joel Edmondson, Ilya Labushkin, fucking Simone Benoit, these are big boys. Those are three things that they are capable of and excel of. It's clearing pucks in front of the net, clearing bodies in front of the net. And I don't agree in the whole you need a puck-moving defenseman in the playoffs. To me, playoff mindset is get the puck out of the fucking blue line. Off the glass, off the boards and out, clear the fucking end. Don't be looking for a two-line stretch fucking breakout pass or anything stupid like that. It's a mantra of live to fight another day and just try and make less mistakes as the opposing team. Maybe that's like a deeper philosophy when it comes to the further rounds, which is something obviously I don't know anything about. Let the jokes come in now. Maybe first round it is about that puck moving. But to me, it's just get it out, live to see another day. And those three defensemen that I just brought up, I think that they're more than capable of that. And that's been an area that this Leafs team on the defensive end has struggled with over the years. from the forwards, I think that the Leafs forwards, I know there's the narrative, they don't show up in the big games in the game sevens, but in total, like if you look at the likes of Nylander, Matthews, and Marner, they're all essentially like point per game players in the playoffs, like barring like a 2 or 3 points or something like that. So it's not like these guys just fall off the map. They don't have a good history in game sevens. That's a whole different conversation. But I just look at this matchup, and if the Bruins weren't the Bruins and didn't fucking own the kitchen of the Leafs, I think a lot of people would be looking at this saying, hey, maybe Toronto does have a decent chance at this. And maybe the odds do reflect that a little bit here. The thing that scares me is, like Julie said, there's the mindset of this Bruins team, that the culture was built with the likes of, you know, Bergeron and Chara and Krejci and even Lucic back in the day and Rask and all these guys. And that does still exist. That was taken over by the likes of, you know, Pastrnak and, more importantly, Brad Marchand. He's the stir the or the straw that stirs the camel's back or some shit. I don't fucking know. Is that
that's worse than one of my sayings?
I knew that didn't sound right the moment I was fucking coming out, but he is though. But you know what I'm saying, right? Like he's the guy that keeps that alive, right? And that is a thing. They're in the kitchens, and I'm not nervous about the Leafs playing the Bruins. I'm nervous about the Leafs playing anybody. That's what it comes down to. I'm nervous in the playoffs, and I have every reason to be. Now, with this being said, the real problem I have is they have Boston. Oh, great. They have a cave troll. They do. They got Jeremy Swayman. And Jeremy Swayman is the best goddamn goalie in the National Hockey League right now. I'm sorry. Every time I watch this guy, he makes fucking 12 belt saves. He's absolutely fucking lights out. The Bruins give up a lot of shots, bro. You watch a lot of them, they'll give up 41, 42 shots a game or some shit like this. But Swayman's there to fucking bail them out. And Ullmark's a fantastic goalie, capable of doing so too. Now, is that sustainable on a potential 7-game series to be giving up 40 fucking shots a night to a team that does have offensive skills like the Leafs? I don't know. We'll find out, I guess, right? But they have a cave troll in between the pipes in Boston, and that definitely worries me in between the pipes there. Thank you for entertaining that, gentlemen. Do you have any other like thoughts or picks for this game or this series? Or
one note. You mentioned that I like, you know, the puck moving defenseman thing. The only reason why it applies in this series, why I don't like the Leafs to advance, is because the way that the Bruins and the Panthers forecheck, you need a puck moving guy. Like, sure, I like the way the Leafs have built up big defensemen. I like that generally, but the way the Panthers and Bruins forecheck, these guys are going to be turning the puck over a lot. So I expect to see a lot of Leafs turnovers here, and I think the Bruins can capitalize on it. That's what I meant, but I like to see the Leafs get a puck moving guy rather than Joel Edmondson.
I understand. That's fair. It's, of course it is. It's a good point. As far as props here and stuff like this, like, I'm sorry, guy. This is going seven. Look, seven game series is plus 200 odds, which is fucking insane, man. Like, six or seven, take your pick on that one. Also, a little sleeper, I guess I shouldn't say sleeper because of what the odds are, but like Nylander plus 600 for most points in the series. He's been awful as of late. He's gone 10 games. I shouldn't say awful. It just hasn't had any puck luck. 10 game goalless streak heading into the playoffs here. Never didn't get to his 100 points like he wanted to. He's been kind of slow lately. Not slow, but like slow when it comes to production lately. But this guy always shows up for the playoffs. The one thing, and I meant to say this too, I'm sorry. The Leafs have looked fucking terrible heading into the playoffs. And that scares the absolute shit out of me. I'm in the mindset, we've had big arguments about it in the Discord the past couple of weeks, that you know, certain teams aren't playing well coming into the playoffs. That's going to affect them. This Toronto team has played themselves into that. They were cooking until about the past 5 games, and they have been playing some goddamn ugly hockey. So that's very fucking scary, man. I do not like that. If you're a Boston fan, you're going to love hearing that. But yeah, like I'm worried, man. I'm worried about that.
Yeah, all I was going to say is, Talon, you may have a chance to be the Leafs goalie in this series. You don't know who they're going with. Wall's back. Sammy's there. Martin Jones.
He played tonight.
Matt Murray's playing.
Matt Murray's in the AHL. Like, but to be told, like, as far as depth goes, like, that's probably the most goaltending depth out of any team in the playoffs. You got 4 guys capable of starting.
Too bad he could only put one of them between the
whether pipes. Any of them, yeah, whether any of them are going to fucking get a win or not, that's a whole different story. But you do have 4, technically speaking, NHL-capable goaltenders on your team. So I don't fucking know, man.
No, I just like the Bruins here to win it. -125, I think that's cheap. Pastrnak, a 2-1. Most points in the series. If I had to place a point prop here, that'd be my look. Of course, it could be a shorter series, maybe five games, but I don't know. It's Pastrnak or nothing here. I'm not liking anything else on the board. Looking down the list, I mean, Tyler Bertuzzi has been coming on the second half of the season, no doubt. Oh, Max Domi, 120-1. If you like the Leafs, 120-1 on Max Domi isn't a terrible look.
Is he in his bad line still?
Yeah, so he is. He's battling. They sat in the past two games because he's got a hurt hand. They say he should be good to go. Bobby McMahon's play status is in question for game one. He's a little banged up.
I think he has a person.
Yeah, because he doesn't exist. Morgan Riley was probably the best player on the ice for the Leafs in that Tampa Bay series last year. Obviously, defenseman to get a lot of points, that's kind of tough. But a plus 7,000, it might be worth a little sprinkle. This guy was fucking dominant last year on the ice.
Max Domi is playing with Matthews now, too. Yeah. So he's good to go. 120-1. If you're like the Leafs, that'd be my
100%, man. And he's been scoring a bit, too, lately. Not just playmaking. But, yeah, you're right.
Yeah, if you want to go chalk. Pastrnak 2-1, I think is okay.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, Conn Smythe, you can either get Pastrnak or Matthews. They're both at 30-1. I imagine if either of these teams do win the cup, it would be one of those two. Maybe maybe Swayman for Boston. But
yeah, what's Willie?
What's Nylander at? We've got 45-1.
I don't hate like it.
Oh, no. So is Swayman. Swayman's 45-1 too. Mm.
Yeah, Swayman over Nylander for sure. But I'm just saying, if this team goes on a run, Nylander's going to be a fucking key part, especially they don't know what line he's going to be playing on, man. Like, he could be second, he could be third. Like, in the level of competition you're playing against there, that factors in, plus power play time. You never really know, right? So, All right. Anything else you want to touch on there? I have faith in Samsonov. I know not a lot of people do, but...
No.
All right. Let's move down to the next series here. We have the Battle of Florida. This is actually going to be awesome. As much as I hate to say it, this kind of worked out perfectly, eh? Like, just for an average fan, like, if you don't care about any of these teams, Leafs, Boston, Florida, Tampa, that's pretty cool. These teams only played 3 times in the regular season, I'm seeing. That's fucking bullshit. Like, what are we doing? These teams should be playing at least, like, 5 times. You know, I know the way the schedule set up, yes, it's not a thing anymore, but that's ridiculous. Florida took the series 2-1. With wins 3-2, a big 9-2 stomping, I think we remember, in February. And then Tampa got the best of them about a month ago or so with a 5-3 win here. Current odds, Florida's our favorite, minus 170. Lightning's favorite, plus 145 here. Jolie, we'll go to you. What do you think? What do you think is going to happen here?
I feel differently about the series if Sergachev was fully healthy, but the Lightning blue line right now is not looking good. I know they brought Matt Dumba in, but I'm not a big fan of him. And he's got some physical presence and all that, but again, he's not a puck moving defenseman. And the Panthers, they feast on the forecheck. They're all fucking relentless, like a bunch of fucking dog hounds, like hunting the fucking raccoon, the fucking stag. They chase him down, and that's what the Panthers do. And you need to have guys who are cool, calm on the puck. And Dumba is not that. They got Victor Hedman. He's having a much better year this year than last year, but still, Panthers relentless forecheck. I love them in this matchup. They're gonna win this series, I think. Under $2, no doubt. Minus 170. They're a much better team. Lightning, no doubt. They've been a great team. Like over the past month, they've been playing excellent hockey. Vasilevsky's been playing probably the best hockey of his career since halfway through the a couple of years ago at least. Like, he's been playing a lot of good hockey anyway. And Kucherov has been outstanding, but he's kind of carrying this team. There's not a lot of depth behind them. You know, Duclair, he scored again today. That was a nice addition at the deadline, but he traditionally disappears in the playoffs. He's not a playoff guy. Stamkos, he's actually caught fire as well. But the Panthers just far deeper team. They got so much more experience now, bringing in Tarasenko, even Okposo as a depth option if somebody gets hurt, and Nico Mikola. Like, these fucking guys at the back end, they're fucking ants, just big old trees, just banging away. they're fucking stacked. I think the Panthers just win this. I love the way this turned out because I'm heavy on Panthers, heavy on Bruins, and I think that I would hate the Bruins against the Lightning, but I love the Panthers against the Lightning. I think it works out a lot better for me this way. So yeah, give me the Panthers all day long. I think they win this series. It could go long, but I'm not touching the series price. I'm not looking at the current odds right now, but Yeah. -170 for the Panthers. I like that. They can win this one in game seven if need be, but I think it goes shorter than that. They've just been the more better team. And they're coming together lately, right? Like, they had a bit of a stumble for a few weeks. They're playing some terrible hockey as they introduced Tarasenko to the new system and all this. But, you know, over the last little bit, they've come together, played some weaker opponents, to be fair, but still, they're fucking stacked. Barkov is a masterful performer. He's a composer of what this team does. He can match up against the Kucherov line. He'll shut him down, no problem. And Ekblad should be coming back for this game too. Like, he's been out for a little bit. And yeah, Panthers all the way. I think they win this. And I don't think it goes seven, but I Battle of Florida, you know, it's burgeoning rivalry and all this. Maybe the Lightning get a couple, push it to seven, but nah, give me the Panthers all day long.
Yeah, I agree with all of that there. I like the Panthers here a lot. -170, you know, might be a bit steep. Same on the series spread, -1.5, +115, +120 around there, might be worth doing. But like Joel said, like, this could go seven games. The Lightning, Vasilevskiy's going to steal a win. Kucherov probably going to steal a game. Like, and if they get some bounces, they got a great power play, so that's going to be big in the playoffs here. But also, yeah, the Panthers were down there for a while after the deadline, you know, trying to get their groups together. Maybe they didn't have enough practice time for that. But in the past six games, 5-0-1, only loss was in Boston in overtime there. So they've really turned it on late to take this Atlantic division. So I like him quite a bit in the playoffs here. Bobrovsky has been good too as well in his past four starts. Only allowed 5 goals, shutouts against Ottawa and Columbus. But, you know, seeing the puck well. He obviously was great last year in the playoffs, so I think the Panthers here are the team to beat. I think -170. I'm kind of talking myself into it. Maybe Panthers in six at +450. I think that might be my favorite bet for this series. I could see that happening pretty easily with Lightning winning two there and the Panthers getting it done. Oh yeah, season series was 2-1, as Talon said. One blowout win for the Panthers, but besides that, pretty close. So I think Florida gets it done. I like Florida long term here. And yeah, that's what I got.
One more thing I should add. I should have said this in my old thing, because it's basically the whole reason why I don't like the Lightning going too far in these playoffs, is because they're so reliant on the power play. They're the best power play in the league. And when these games get tighter and the fewer penalties get called, they won't get to rely on that. And the Panthers have a sixth best penalty kill in the league anyway by kill percentage. So that's another factor that weighs heavily in favor of the Panthers. So the Lightning 5-5 stuff is not good. And the Panthers 5-5 stuff is fucking elite. So yeah, give me Panthers all day long.
I think there's a lot of people that are going to have a little bit of an eye opener after the first game. And I think that's going to be because the Tampa Bay Lightning are going to go into Sunrise and they're going to beat the fucking shit out of the Florida Panthers in game one here, okay? Everybody talks about Florida. Yes, they're a fucking unbelievable team. The depth that they've accumulated has been great. And a lot of this has just been found, like, from within, you know, from within town. A lot of these same players have just looked and said, okay, oh, we just beat the Bruins last year. Well, guess what? Now we're going to be the best team in the NHL. And sometimes that's what it takes, man. They found their mojo. They found their moxie. It was there. But not a lot of people are bringing up the point of just how goddamn unbeatable Sergei Bobrovsky was in the playoffs last year. For three series, you couldn't fucking score on this guy. If he could see it, he could save it. If he couldn't see it, the puck just didn't want to go in the net. It would just find his glove, find his blocker, find his pad. He was that goddamn good. And you know what, man? Nobody fucking is meaner, and I know that he took a lot of shit in this All-Star game, but nobody wants to win. Nobody hates losing more than fucking Nikita Kucherov. And this is a goddamn rivalry series here, man. Kucherov is gonna maybe not so much put this team on his fucking back, but he's gonna have these boys ready to rock and roll. And even though he did put his team on the back for the entire regular season, who are we talking about here? The depth's lacking in Tampa, I understand that, but we're still looking at the likes of Braden Point, fucking Steven Stamkos, Victor Hedman, fucking Brandon Hagel, like fucking playoff performer, Leaf Killer, Nick Paul. like Andre Vasilevsky. If Sergachev comes back, rumor is he's skating. Anthony Duclair, fucking Tanner no, fucking like Luke Glendening, Kelvin Delhan, Tyler Mott. Do I gotta keep fucking going? Sure, regular season team, maybe not the best.
Not before Tyler Mott.
I think you went too far already. On
you want me? But what my point is, like, maybe not the best regular season performances, but these are guys that are going to have their fucking nutsacks on the table come playoffs, okay? And if you're going to fucking want to beat them, you're going to have to fucking cut off both testes and shove them down their throat, because there's no other way that this Tampa Bay C team is losing unless fucking somebody holds them down and literally murders these guys on the ice. These guys are fucking gamers. They have the playoff performers. They have the experience as well. Not to say Florida doesn't. They had a hell of a run last year. I'm just saying it's going to be a fucking battle. So the people that I'm talking to that are like saying, I've had people text me, like friends and shit, just as of last night saying, oh, Tampa doesn't fucking stand a chance. They're fucked. They're going to be out in five. I'm like, are we talking about the same team? Vasilevsky can fucking win this series on his own if he just decides, yeah, by the way, you're not going to score on me ever again. Like, he's capable of doing that. Now, is this going to happen? I'm not going to be surprised if it does, but I'm just going to say Florida's a good team. I'm not shitting on them either, but the moxie of this Tampa Bay team, man, is just second to none to me. I think there's such fucking gamers out here, and it comes from a mantra of just hating to lose. Hating, not just not liking it or being sad, but it literally eats at you. It fucking tears you apart. And that's what you have in the likes of Stamkos, fucking Kucherov, and Point, and Hedman, and Vasilevsky, and Sergachev, and Tyler Mott.
I think that's a fair point. I mean, you've been hyping up the Lightning as a playoff team to watch all year long. I think
they for years. Well, Talon is a big Lightning stan.
Probably just in case they met the Leafs in the first round. So he's like, oh, this is a good team. I've always thought it's a good team.
Shut up.
Yeah, I think the Lightning here, if you like the Lightning in the series, I don't know. I don't know if they can win the cup. They're 25-1 to win the cup, but like, they have Vasilevsky. Like he's a playoff performer. I don't think they win this series, but +145 would be too small for me to take. But, you know, maybe look at a future if you really, really want that.
Here's my thought on that. If they win this series, then bet it. Because they're going to have to play Boston or Toronto. Mm-hmm. I think Lightning would beat either of those teams. So that's my thought. I don't think right now, because I think Florida win the series. But, yeah, if you're looking for Lightning to win the cup, I would wait a series. And if they win this one, you bet them in the next series, bet them to win the cup, do that kind of thing. Yeah, I think that the Panthers are just the far superior team here. And, yeah, I've already said my piece on this series, so carry on, I guess.
Anthony Duclair has been sick, dude. He's been such a good pickup for this
team.
Yeah,
but he fires in spurts, right? And he's typically like the regular season guy. So we'll see if that continues. I just don't like the Tampa Bay Lightning defense, like beyond Hedman. Without Sergachev, that's a huge deal.
It's true. You're right. That's why they have a cave troll in net too, though, right?
Fair enough.
But so does Florida. When Bob's on, Bob's unstoppable. So this is going to be a sweet.
And they have Stolarz, who actually has a better save percentage this year than Hellebuck. So even if Bobrovsky goes back to like 2 years
ago, Stolarz for Vezina.
Put in Stolarz.
Would he be the first goalie ever drafted by the Flyers to win the Vezina if he won it next year, Ryan?
Bobrovsky already has one. Bobrovsky have two?
Oh, yeah. Yeah, you're right. Bob has two.
Yeah,
you're right.
Bob has two.
Yeah, I didn't think about that. Stoli and Bob, they both have them. That'd be great. I'm just being a dick. I'm sorry. You've been nice to me the past two shows. I don't know.
One more thing. Like, even from a fan perspective, the Battle of Florida and Boston, Toronto, this has worked out ideally for the NHL as a whole and for the watcher.
Yeah. It has.
Metropolitan didn't do it as quite as good. Rangers, Islanders, Caps, Canes would have been
terrible.
I mean, they're more quote unquote rivals. I mean, Battle of New York and Carolina and DC are the closest.
Oh, the Battle of New York. The Islanders, Rangers would have been
ideal. That would have been cool.
Isn't that what I said?
I don't know.
Well, that's not going to happen.
I'm saying it would have been if the Canes could have fucking did the job and won the division. Yeah.
Gotcha. Carry on.
Yeah. Looking at Conn Smythe here, just a glance. Kachuk and Bob are both 25-1 there. For the Lightning, who we got? Probably Vasilevsky, 55-1. Kucherov is 50-1 as well. I mean, they're not winning the cup though, so it would be Kachuk or Bob here or nothing for me. Maybe Barkov 30-1, but then you're getting just spreading yourself too thin.
Kachuk has been not good this season. I think he's carrying over from being beaten up so bad last year.
What's Reinhardt?
Ooh, what is Reinhardt? That's a good question there. 40-1.
Yeah. 40-1, 50-plus goal season, second most goals in the league. UFA, but no one's going to fucking talk about that because he's not in Toronto. But
whatever. I think Kucherov is the bet because a lot of people are going to be feeling a little bit guilty for betting McKinnon for the heart, and then they'll be feeling like they got to repay him with Kucherov to win the Conn Smythe. That's my only look for the Conn Smythe and between these two teams. Yeah, Kucherov, I think, leg of the Lightning, or winning the Cup. It's on the back of Kucherov. I know Vasilevskiy is elite, but...
What's Braden Point? You're telling me Braden Point isn't capable of popping off for the fucking thing?
He's an awesome playoff performer. Like his points definitely do go up in the playoffs.
Now, if one scoring, chances are the other one has something to do with it. Don't get me wrong, but still, I don't hate Point either, whatever his number's at.
100-1.
100-1?
100-1 for Braden Point?
And what was Kucherov's?
What did I say? 30? 40? Okay. No, 50, I think Kucherov was. Kucherov is 50. Points 100. Let me throw Stamkos in here. 160-1.
Nah, Stamkos. I'd rather take Kucherov at 50.
Anthony Stolar is 190-1.
Let's go.
You never know, man. You never know.
Hey, if Bob gets lit up in game one and Stolar comes in, that's when you live bet the shit out of Stolar.
Yeah, you're right, eh? Yeah.
Most points in this series, Kucherov's obviously favorite, plus 175. Probably get it, but, you know, Kachuk plus 600. I didn't know he's been struggling. I feel like that's worth it, given how well he performed in the playoffs last year.
I'd rather point to 750 or Reinhardt at plus 800. I think there's more value, right?
Yeah, and like the Lightning could lose in like five or six games and still have the highest point getter if they like they have one blowout win.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Yep. Anything else you want to add on either of those series? I guess. No,
we've exhausted our expertise.
All right, fancy that. We're gonna have to get a bracket or something going. Hey, I guess maybe we'll work on that.
Oh yeah, maybe at Calcutta even.
Oh, potentially.
Oh,
something.
I fucking hate them so much. All right, let's wrap this one up here. Good job, boys. Everybody go check out the Sports Gaming Podcast Network website. That's the place to be. Tons of stuff in the world of sports. Obviously, hockey playoffs are gonna be fucking electric. We cannot wait for that. Gonna be sweet. Puck drops on Saturday, 5 p.m. That'll be awesome. What else is happening? Basketball's doing its thing. Play in, playoffs, playouts, play ups. I don't fucking know, whatever. baseball's, you know, 1 billion games into their 7 billion game season. So that's trucking along. Ryan, anything worth noting on the baseball front here that we should be aware of?
Don't think so. I'm gonna start digging into it more now that the Flyers season's over, though. So in the coming weeks, I'll have something.
Right on. So all that's doing its stuff. NFL draft coming up. When is that? It's the 21st?
23rd? 7th. A week from 25th.
Thursday.
25th. Okay. Well, that'll be cool. So yeah, a bunch of stuff in the world of sports. You can find all that information at the SGPN website. Be sure to go check it out. Read the articles, listen to the shows. Everybody does such a killer job. And of course, shout out to all of our friends and pals in the Discord. If you're not in the Discord, you're not making money. If you want to get in the Discord, reach out to myself or Ryan on Twitter. We'll be sure to point you in the right direction. Or you can reach out to the HGP Twitter account, social media assistant producer. We'll tell you everything that you need to know. He'll get you in there. He's a fucking killer. Or what you can do is... Buddy, just fucking come on over to Leafs Nation because I'm going to get Jolie over there, baby. When the Leafs go on a playoff run and they're going up in the Stanley Cup playoff finals playing against the fucking Dallas Stars, I'm going to ship him over my fucking Ryan Reeves jersey. He's going to put that on. He's going to wear it with pride, baby. Hell yeah. And then when he's wearing my Leafs jersey, he can be like, oh, you look good, bud. You probably know how to get in the Discord. And he'll be like, oh, yeah, I do look good. And I will tell you how to get in the Discord. And then you're in the Discord and you're talking to a good looking guy.
Fucking right.
Yeah. all right. Make sure you are subscribed to the Hockey Gambling Podcast on YouTube. Like, comment, and all that good stuff there, as well as Apple Podcasts and Spotify. Leave us a 5-star rating and review. Get us pumped up for the playoffs. Pump our tires up here a little bit. No, we like that stuff.
Always helps, man. All right, everybody. My name is Talon Jenkins. You can find me at Twitter at Talon_Jenkins94. Dude, I guess we're doing a couple more shows, but after this, don't talk to me on the weekend. Just don't.
Yeah, I'm Ryan Gilbert. You can follow me on Twitter at rgilbertsop.
I'm Joel Meyer. You'll find me stirring shit up in the Discord, trying to get people to talk to Talon or talk about him at least.
Fuck all of you guys. Keep my wife's name. My girlfriend's going to come in there and be like, keep my man's name out your damn mouth. And she's going to be slapping y'all on stage like fucking Will Smith or some shit.
Yeah, that's you, except about the Leafs.
Yeah, exactly.
Joel's the straw that stirs the camel's back.
Fuck off.
Nice one.
Damn it. All right, everybody. Thanks for hanging out. Around one. Rory McIlroy is still a bitch. Peace.